Tonight, it was the beginning of the Cody Rhodes era on SmackDown, the brand new WWE champion. Made an appearance on Raw Monday night. Made an appearance on SmackDown tonight as well. And will he still be, though, the face of SmackDown coming out of the draft? We learned the WWE draft on Monday is coming up at the end of the month. Is he still going to be on SmackDown? Is he going to be on Raw as he has been for the past 2 years? I really believe that the champion should be immune from being drafted. And typically they have not been. That is something I'd like to see Triple H make very clear. But we have to assume that Cody may end up being drafted to a completely different show. We'll have to wait and see. Maybe the champions will be swapped. But we know two men are going to SmackDown next Friday. Only one of them will come out of that show as the number one contender for the WWE Undisputed Championship at Backlash, which is coming up in France at the beginning of May. And that will be either LA Knight or AJ Styles. And I think we all know who's coming out of that match next week with the win. It's almost as if there was a certain someone who predicted that this very thing would happen many weeks ago. But AJ Styles always struck me as the best option to put in there with Cody Rhodes as his first post-Mania feud, right? I mean, you want him in there with somebody that you know they can give you great matches, but it's somebody that can be beat because you're not going to take the title off Cody this soon. AJ Styles just seemed to be the guy that fit the bill. But that's also why I thought AJ would win at WrestleMania. And then he went in there and he lost, as he's been doing now for a while. He had a title shot in January at the Royal Rumble, Fatal 4-Way, and he lost. He went to WrestleMania against LA Knight, and he lost. Tonight, though, he won. He was a winner in the main event. There were two triple threat matches on this show. LA Knight wins the first one. AJ Styles wins the second one. Now we get the rematch from WrestleMania on SmackDown next week. AJ should get his win back there. I think that's the right choice. While also agreeing with many of you that, yes, AJ should have gone over at WrestleMania, but he didn't. I still feel he's the best person for the job. I mean, you're not going to put LA Knight in there with Cody Rhodes and then just have Cody beat LA Knight. LA Knight already lost to Roman Reigns a few months ago. You're going to give him another world title opportunity and beat him again? You think that would be good for LA Knight? AJ Styles is a made man. AJ Styles may one day be WWE champion again before he retires. Now is not that time. But the stage is set for that next week. But the bigger story here, the bigger story does not even concern the WWE championship. The bigger story does not even concern Cody Rhodes. It concerns the bloodline and the pending civil war that is coming. You could see it. You know it's on the way. The seeds were planted for it tonight. Poor Jimmy Uso out there tonight, he got whacked by his own flesh and blood. He got whacked by Solo Sikoa. We had the debut of the newest addition to the bloodline. And he's not blood, but they consider him to be blood. Tama Tonga, after 14 years in New Japan Pro Wrestling at the age of 40, finally made the jump to WWE. And Tama Tonga made his debut tonight here on SmackDown. So as it turned out, SmackDown is the show that had the big post-WrestleMania surprise debut that we did not get on Monday night. We got it tonight on the Friday night show. I actually think SmackDown was the better of the two shows this week. And I didn't think Raw was a terrible show, but SmackDown, to me, was the more fun of the two. Quality triple threat match in that main event, too, with Rey Mysterio, AJ Styles, and Kevin Owens. Some pretty cool stuff there from those three. But you look at what they did with the bloodline, and I'm going to get into all the details, but we had no Roman Reigns on the show tonight. There was no Rock. There was no Roman Reigns. So that appearance we had by The Rock on Raw Monday night, when he told Cody Rhodes that he had to go away for a while, that was it. We're not going to see The Rock again for several months. He's going off to film a movie. We probably won't get him back until later in the summer. And no Roman Reigns, but we did get Paul Heyman, and we got Jimmy Uso, and we got Solo Sikoa. And Solo Sikoa was being a little more assertive than he usually is in these segments. Usually he's kind of in the background, he stands there, he mean mugs the camera, he doesn't have much to say. And tonight you could see Solo Sikoa taking a more authoritative stance in the bloodline. Paul Heyman cowering in fear without the tribal chief there, right? Paul Heyman has no idea what's going on. Tama Tonga comes out. He attacks Jimmy Uso from behind. Solo destroys his brother, leaves him laying. Paul Heyman scared to death. Nobody plays a more terrified sort of, he looks like an abuse victim out there, this poor guy. Nobody plays that part better than Paul Heyman. And Paul Heyman was making it very clear this is not on the orders of the tribal chief. He has no idea what's going on here. Someone is not keeping him in the loop. But there are lots of possibilities here to discuss about where this may be headed, who else may be showing up, what this means for the future of Roman Reigns, what this means for The Rock's role potentially in all of this. I love what they did tonight in that segment. And here we have a storyline in the blood. Now think about this. The bloodline really kicked off 4 years ago, or just about 4 years ago. And so here we are now. That was in 2020, really in the fall of 2020. We are now in the spring of 2024. Roman Reigns holding the title as long as he did. It got boring. There was a sameness to it. It was time to move on. It was time to turn the page and get the belt on somebody else. Let Cody finish his story and move on. And frankly, let Roman Reigns move on. Let the bloodline move on to whatever that next chapter might be, because the bloodline felt as if after SummerSlam, like the entire thing had really jumped the shark, especially when Jimmy just went back to Roman. After all the Usos drama last year, it's like, really? Jimmy just goes back? And so you're waiting to see if they can do something to try to breathe new life into this. The Rock did that. When The Rock came back and The Rock turned heel, The Rock was able to breathe new life back into the bloodline just by being part of it, just by coming out there and being part of the group and making you wonder what's going to happen at WrestleMania. Is he going to turn on Roman? Is there going to be some kind of a rift between the two at WrestleMania 40? There wasn't. There was no evidence of that. But now, all of a sudden, you throw in one new member. There could possibly be a second new member. In fact, there will be a second new member coming very soon. You can kind of see where things may be going here, people choosing sides. It's amazing, a couple of changes, how it can breathe new life into an old story. 4 years of the bloodline, they could easily go to five or six. And I even said that going into WrestleMania. I said, look, there are new names who could be added to this group, Tama Tonga being one of them. And there's so many different things you could do as far as Roman and Rock and Roman and Solo, right? He said that Solo was kind of the heir apparent to being the tribal chief. There's a lot there. I just got tired of waiting for them to get to it. But now that it's here, and we saw what they did tonight, they have my interest. They have piqued my attention. I am very curious now to see where this all goes. And we'll talk about where that might be. There is also a bit of breaking news, not major news, but breaking news nonetheless that I saw just before I went live here, which I thought was worth mentioning. And this comes from PW Insider. You know, there's been a lot of stories in the last few months, really, of one, I hate to even mention his name, but one Vince McMahon. And Vince McMahon has been selling off a lot of his shares in TKO to the point where now he's down to something like maybe 8% or whatever. Ownership of TKO has made hundreds of millions of dollars by selling his shares, but he still maintains a small piece, a small ownership of the company. Well, that may all be coming to an end because there was a filing late in the evening tonight submitted by TKO Group, an SEC filing, revealing that all of Vince McMahon's remaining stock in TKO are now registered for sale. So they have not yet been sold, but they are now up for sale, which opens the door to the eventuality that Vince McMahon in the not-too-distant future may altogether divorce himself from TKO and WWE. And to think, all it took was Cody Rhodes name-dropping the NWA, watching SmackDown. I could picture Vince sitting there with the clicker in his hand, watching SmackDown, hearing Cody mention the initials NWA during his promo. And that was it. That was just the bridge too far. And Vince McMahon says, I have to get out of this entire thing. Good. And so with any luck, He will be completely gone soon enough. But that is the latest on that. This is your Friday Night SmackDown review. Maybe we should all get together here. We should all get together and pool our resources together, and we'll buy all the remaining shares. Maybe we could help speed up the process. This is your Friday Night SmackDown review here for April 12th, 2024. I am the Sala Monster. Like and subscribe. 450 likes is the goal tonight for us to do our Be the Booker segment a little bit later on. Super chats are open. I want to thank all of you for helping me blast past 79,000 subscribers at the beginning of the week. We are well on our way to 80,000 subs. And look at this, Justin just subscribed. See, Justin is one of the many that are going to help me climb to 80K. The only question is, how quickly can we get there? Can we get there in the next few weeks? That would be amazing. So make sure you hit that subscribe button. I also want to thank you for joining me for my Dynamite review on Wednesday night. By far the biggest Dynamite review that I've ever done here in the history of the channel. We are now bordering on 60,000 views for that. Do you realize that we had more people watching, not even live necessarily. Like, we had 4,500 people at one point here on Wednesday night, but we had more people tune in to that Dynamite review than either night of WrestleMania 40. And that was a big weekend, too. We had more people with Dynamite on Wednesday. So you guys blew me away with that. Thank you. And I hope you enjoyed that. I hope you got something out of it. Hope you get something out of this, too. We're going to talk about SmackDown. We had the new, undisputed WWE. I can't even say Universal. I like how they're not saying Universal, unless I missed it in the opening announcement, but he is the undisputed WWE champion. Cody Rhodes, out to the ring first. They were in Detroit tonight, and the Motor City was loud for Cody Rhodes. Actually, this was a great crowd all throughout the show, but these people were loud as shit when Cody came out to the ring. And he talked about The Rock interrupting him on Monday night. And when The Rock came out and interrupted his promo, it made him think about someone who also happens to be from Detroit, where they were tonight, and what that person would say if they were out there on Monday night. And then he dropped the old Brandy Rhodes line. He was talking about Brandy. And he said, "Who the hell told you tonight was open mic night, bitch?" Yeah, I still remember the night here on the channel that I reviewed that episode. Oh, the fun we had with that promo when she came out to confront Jade Cargill. Was it really 4 years ago? I think it was 4 years ago. That's crazy. Maybe three. I don't remember exactly when it was, but it was a while ago. But that was the Brandy shout out here. Open mic night. So then he apologized for cursing. He said, "I don't know what's gotten into me." He believed The Rock when he said that he would be going off to Hollywood, and that when he returns, he would be looking for Cody. And he said, "Rock will not have to look very far because he's standing right here. But that's in the rear view." He said in 3 weeks, he's going to be on a plane flying out to France for Backlash. And he is going to see one of the six men in the two triple threat matches tonight. That's who he is going to be defending his title against at the next show. He mentioned could be Santos Escobar. Everybody booed. Could be Rey Mysterio. Everyone said, "Yay!" Right? Lots of Rey Mysterio fans in the crowd. Rey Mysterio still looking to avenge that loss to John Cena many years ago, where he only had the WWE title for about an hour. He mentioned LA Knight. People like that. AJ Styles, he got mostly boos, but a little bit of a mixed reaction. Mostly boos, though, for AJ. He said AJ and himself, two of only four men who were ever the NWA champion and the WWE champion. Said then there's Bobby Lashley, which got mostly cheers, but I will say I was kind of surprised how mixed the reaction sounded. So I was expecting mostly or all cheers, and it was definitely more of a mixed reaction to Lashley. And then there is his friend Kevin Owens, who, of course, got a big pop. He said it's not lost on him that there are very sold out here tonight in Detroit. So he turned his back so he can get a good view of the crowd. And then he left us with a message for those six men. He says, if you come at the king, you best not miss. Didn't I use that line recently in one of the reviews? Shout out to Omar. Great TV show. He said, and for the folks who watch SmackDown only and may be unfamiliar with him, my name is Cody Rhodes. He said, once undesirable, now undeniable, and our undisputed WWE champion. So a fairly benign promo. I do love him name-dropping the NWA initials. I did like that. That's a fact that we would not have heard on TV before. You know, Michael Cole every now and then would name drop, New Japan, you know, and even that was shocking. But this is the sort of thing that I hope they're more open to, you know, is acknowledging things from outside the company, acknowledging accomplishments that people have in some of these other promotions, maybe not AEW, but, you know, other places. Why not? For so long, WWE, they've existed in their own bubble. You know, that's the way that Vince McMahon always operated. We don't really acknowledge what happens outside these walls. And that's something that I would like to see Paul Levesque do more of. And so even something as minor as that, you know, was kind of refreshing to hear that. This crowd was absolutely on fire for Cody in this promo, which is great to see because this company is building everything around this guy, right? They're making him the face of the brand now. And the whole thing with him finishing the story, that was 2 years from the day he debuted and came back to the company in 2022. And he came out on Raw the very next night, and they put the picture of Dusty up on the Tron, and he explained to us what the story was. This is before finishing the story turned into a meme. 2 years later, he finished the story, and you hope that the people will stick with him, because we know how fickle the fans can be. You hope they stick with him for a while, and it's only been a week so far. It's been two TV shows, but they have been loud for Cody. Coming out of WrestleMania, which is good to see because he's the guy. Whether you like it or not, they're going to have that belt on him for a while. He's going to be wrestling people, defending that championship. And so if you're WWE, you have to be happy with the reactions that he's been getting. $1 million in merch over WrestleMania weekend at the WWE World in Philadelphia and WWE Shop. Cody alone sold $1 million in merch. Pretty incredible. It's also nice to have a full-time champion back on SmackDown. Isn't that nice? Now, we still have a part-time United States champion. We'll have to do something about that soon. But it's nice to have somebody who will actually show up on the TV shows and will actually wrestle. Not necessarily defend the title very often on TV, but somebody that we will actually get to see on the program, if not every week, on most weeks. That's a refreshing change as well. Now, in the back, they showed Paul Heyman, Solo Sikoa, and Jimmy Uso walking towards what they thought was their locker room, the Bloodline locker room, but then they stopped in their tracks, and they looked, and the camera panned over to show an American Nightmare sign on the door. And then Kevin Owens showed up, and he walked in. He said, yeah, you guys can't go in there. And he went inside. Solo Sikoa said that he would take care of him, and he would take care of this. And Heyman told him, look, winning and losing matters here. Don't tell that to Road Dogg. His head may explode. Don't let Road Dogg know that wins and losses matter, because we've been told that they don't. But Paul Heyman said winning and losing matters. Winning and losing has consequences. He says we lost. Cody Rhodes is the champion, and that's his locker room. He says if they want it back, then the title has to come home to the Bloodline, and that is by order of the tribal chief. We got a promo for Raw, which is coming up this Monday. They are going to be north of the border. They are going to be in Montreal, which is Sami Zayn's hometown. He is defending the Intercontinental title against Chad Gable in Montreal. I'm very much looking forward to that. But they also announced that Sheamus is making his return. So, I mean, the draft could shake everything up again, but for now, Sheamus is heading back to Raw. We know that from the promo they aired tonight. And what that means for his future, we'll see. Does he come back as a heel? Does he come back? I mean, I would think he'll be back as a babyface. Now, whether they turn him heel remains to be seen. But if he's going to Raw, The Intercontinental title is on Raw. And it doesn't have to happen right away because Chad Gable has his story with Sami. I mean, unless Sami just beats him and that's the end of it. But I can't imagine they're not going to play the story out with Chad Gable. But very interesting that Sheamus is returning to the brand that right now has the Intercontinental title on it. So that's something to keep an eye on. Now we had our first of two triple threat matches on this show, with the winners of both going on to SmackDown next week to compete for the right to become number one contender for Cody's title of Backlash. This one had LA Knight, Santos Escobar, and Bobby Lashley. Once the bell rang, Escobar ran at Knight before he got double teamed by Knight and by Lashley. Knight tried to roll up Bobby, didn't work. Bobby got pulled out of the ring by LA Knight. They brawled for a little while before Escobar dove onto both of them. And SmackDown went to commercial at that point. Skipping ahead a little bit here, we had LA Knight fight out of a Phantom Driver attempt by Escobar. And he hit the elbow. Does he have a name for it? I don't even know if LA Knight has come up with a name for the big jumping elbow that he does. I'll just call it the jumping elbow for now. Escobar was in the crosshairs of LA Knight before Legado del Fantasma attacked him. It was Angel and Humberto. No disqualifications in a triple threat match, so it may as well be Bloodline rules. So they attacked LA Knight from behind, and all three Legado members hit a triple powerbomb. They beat up Lashley before the Street Profits ran out, and they fended off Angel and Humberto. Lashley took Escobar down with a flatliner and hit him with a spear, but Escobar dodged it, and then Lashley ended up posting himself. LA Knight snuck up behind Escobar, hit the BFT, and he got the win. So good match. LA Knight picks up the win, no surprise there. All you really had to do was look at the lineups for these two triple threat matches. It was pretty clear, you know, who was going over and who was moving on to next week. So a predictable win for LA Knight, but one that he needed to move on to next Friday. Backstage, we had the LWO being interviewed. Kayla Braxton told Rey Mysterio that Escobar has denied attacking Dragon Lee. Dragon Lee was attacked on SmackDown last Friday by a mystery assailant. We don't know who attacked him. We didn't see it. Carlito was the first one on the scene. But we still don't know who actually... Well, we know who attacked Dragon Lee. They haven't revealed it yet, but we know who attacked Dragon Lee. It's a certain someone that has some big poofy hair. But she says Escobar denied having anything to do with the attack. Rey Mysterio, though, he switched topics and said that he was going to win the number one contender's triple threat match later tonight. And although he is a WWE Hall of Famer, he says that he feels he still has one good WWE title run left in him. We'll see about that. Carlito was in the background. He made a few comments, but keep your eye on that guy. Again, if they have Dragon Lee in the LWO, you've got Rey now, Dragon Lee, and Carlito, and Zelina, and Joaquin, and Cruz. It's too many people. Somebody has to go. Carlito turning heel and breaking away. Whether that means he joins Legado, I don't know, but he doesn't have to. Not everybody has to be attached to a certain faction. But clearly, I think Carlito is going to be going heel very soon. So then, we had the Bloodline, or what's left of the Bloodline for now. Paul Heyman, Solo Sikoa, and Jimmy Uso out to the ring for a promo. So Heyman said the Bloodline offers no excuses for what happened at WrestleMania. They don't blame John Cena. They don't blame The Undertaker. And they don't even blame Jey Uso. Accountability, he says, is a very big word on the island of relevancy. And Roman Reigns has ordered that they accept accountability. At WrestleMania 39, he says, what happened? Roman entered the ring focused and unemotional. Cody Rhodes took his eye off the ball for 1 second, and he was distracted by Solo. He wasn't distracted by Solo. He got fucking spiked. It wasn't like Cody looked outside the ring and was distracted and then turned around and walked into a spear. The man couldn't breathe. He had a thumb stuck in his throat. But he said Roman took advantage and successfully defended the title. At WrestleMania 40, Cody flipped the script on them. Seth Rollins told Cody that he would be his shield, one unfinished piece of business that Roman Reigns had in his life. So when Roman had a chair in his hand and he could have smashed Cody Rhodes with it, what did he do? And it would have been legal, he says, because it was bloodline rules. What did he do? He didn't do that. Why? Because after 10 years of waiting for revenge on Seth Rollins for his betrayal of the Shield, Roman Reigns gave in to temptation and his lust for revenge. He took his eye off the ball, and Cody Rhodes was prepared, and just like that, it was over. Ladies and gentlemen, your new undisputed champion is Cody Rhodes. Now, I said when I did my WrestleMania Night 2 review, that was my favorite part of the match, or one of my favorite parts of the match. I enjoyed the whole, you know, Rock Cena showdown, Undertaker thing. Should have been Austin, but whatever. But the part that I really liked was actually the part with Rollins when Roman had the chair and he had to make a decision on what to do. And ultimately, he chose revenge. You know, he allowed himself to get emotional and it cost him in the end. Realistically, though, because I've gone back and I've watched the match again, because it was an excellent match. In my mind, it's a 5-star match. Just on the emotion alone. But what's kind of goofy about it when you really look back at it, it's like Roman had to make a choice, so he chose to hit Rollins. Realistically, Roman Reigns could have taken both of their heads off with the chair. Like, if you'll notice, after Roman hit Rollins with the chair, he threw the chair out of the ring. There was nothing stopping Roman Reigns from hitting Cody Rhodes over and over and over again with the chair. So it's like, Roman was just an idiot in the match. He threw the chair away when he didn't have to. But I get that they were telling a story, so I'll give them some leeway there. But really, if you stop and think about it, pretty stupid what he did. So then Heyman says, like a phoenix, though, rising from the ashes, your tribal chief. And before he could get another word in, Solo Sikoa stopped him. And Solo said, winning and losing matters, right? So there's consequences to losing, right? And Paul said, right. Solo said, consequences means change. And Heyman had this terrified look on his face, but Solo slowly, because he thought he was being replaced. Solo slowly pushes Heyman out of the way, though. And now he's looking at Jimmy. Because Jimmy lost to Jay on night one at WrestleMania. So Jimmy was ready to, like, you're looking at me? Like, he's ready to step up to Solo, his younger brother here. Solo, though, puts his arms out like he's going to go for a hug. And he slowly goes in and he gives Jimmy a hug. And he tells Jimmy, you're my brother. I love you. And Jimmy says, I love you too. Solo then lets go, and he turns to walk away. And as Solo Sikoa is going to walk away, a mystery man in a hoodie, and he's got like a red, I don't know what it was, like a red flag or whatever hanging out of his back pocket, jumps Jimmy Uso from behind. And we don't have to wait very long to find out who it is. He pulls down the hood to reveal Tama Tonga, who, as Corey Graves points out, is the son of Haku. He says he's been, you know, basically tearing it up in Japan now for years. But it was really when he brought up the fact that Tama is Haku's kid, that's when it really hit me. Because I didn't think about it until that moment. Because I knew Tama was coming in. I knew he's been signed for a little while now. But it was in that moment when he mentioned that line there that I thought to myself, there was a very specific reason why Haku was seated in the front row for the Hall of Fame. And there's, you know, not only that, but he was sitting right next to Paul Heyman's kids. And Heyman even acknowledged Haku in his speech. And at the time, it was, you know, it didn't really strike me as being anything that would be tied into a story. But now it's like, I see, okay. Now we know why he was acknowledged and why he was sitting right there front and center at the Hall of Fame. So it's the little details like that. It's the little details that I appreciate. So as Tama is pounding and kicking away at Jimmy, holds him up for Solo to hit not only one Samoan spike, but multiple Samoan spikes. Heyman is in the corner, cowering, almost crying. He looks, again, terrified. He's screaming no as Solo is destroying Jimmy with these spikes. And then he turns to look at Heyman, and Heyman is begging for his life. Solo, though, just brings him to the center of the ring next to he and Tama. Tama puts his finger up in the air to do the salute. Heyman goes to pull his cell phone out, and he goes to call Roman Reigns. Solo looks over and sees this. He snatches the phone out of Heyman's hands, and he throws the phone down on the ground and stomps on it. So how about that? Solo Sikoa with the babyface turn. Bet you didn't see that coming. He put a stop to that shit real quick. No more calling Roman Reigns. We don't need another year of that. So Solo wasn't having any of that either. Tama leaves the ring. He grabs a chair. He brings the chair inside, and they set up the chair. Jimmy is in the corner, half dead on the mat. They wrap the chair around his neck. And Solo crouches down in the corner. He tells him, I love you, brother. Heyman is screaming now, practically in tears. This is not what the tribal chief wants. And Solo then hits the corner hip attack, driving the chair back into Jimmy's throat. That's the kill shot. Solo and Tama Tonga, they leave, and a terrified Paul Heyman goes with them. This was fantastic. This was fantastic. Not only for what they did, but for what it represents now in this story, the next chapter of this story going forward. I thought this was fantastic. Because just like that, they have breathed new life into this Bloodline story 4 years in, at a time when it really needed it. Because it's been so long. And now The Rock, who came back for a little while there, is gone again. And Roman is, we don't know how long Roman's going to be off TV for, so no Roman, no Rock. This Bloodline story cannot survive if you don't have at least one of them on television every week to carry the story along. Roman has now lost the title. Rock is gone. He's gone back to Hollywood for a few months. It can't just be Paul Heyman and Solo Sikoa and Jimmy Uso coming out every week and doing what? They had to make a move here. If they insist on continuing this story, something had to be done. And the most logical thing was, we need new blood. Even if it's not actually blood, right? Tom is not a blood relative, but you need new blood in the Bloodline to keep the blood pumping. And this is exactly what they needed to do. Now, among the things that I really liked about this segment, I talked about how they needed to breathe new life into the Bloodline. Solo Sikoa has been a very one-dimensional character for a while now. When he first came in and he was undefeated for a while and he wouldn't break, they would have these segments where everybody in the ring was practically, in tears laughing. Sami Zayn was trying to break them every single week. Solo was the one who would not break. He would bend, but he would not break. And that worked for a while. But now it's been so long that you get to a point where you've got to evolve the character. We got to see more of Solo's personality when he was in NXT. He was the street fighter. We don't really get to see it as much on the main roster as part of this story. He's the silent enforcer. His job is to stand there and look mean. But at some point, you have to evolve. He has to show more personality, or he has to start speaking more. Here in this segment, he's taking more control. He's being more assertive than we have ever seen him before. So I think for Solo Sikoa as a character, finally, moving on to this next chapter, this is the best possible thing that could happen to him. So I like that as well. Solo driving home the point that losing has consequences, right? Obviously, that had implications for his brother because Jimmy lost at WrestleMania. But it also has implications for Roman Reigns because Roman Reigns lost at WrestleMania. Roman Reigns was the big loser of the weekend. He lost his title. He brought shame upon the family. And that's what I was talking about going into WrestleMania. How is The Rock going to react if Roman Reigns loses the title? Is that the approach they're going to take where Rock is going to win on night one, he's going to pin Cody, and that's exactly what happened, and then Roman is going to lose the title on night two? Rock carried his end, Roman didn't carry his. And is that what's going to lead ultimately to this rift between the two and their eventual match probably next year at WrestleMania? Although some people now are talking about WrestleMania in 2 years. But let's assume next year at WrestleMania is the goal here. Now, we don't know when Roman is going to be back on TV, but obviously we are already seeing the consequences playing out here. He's going to have a big problem when he returns, whenever that may be. Clearly, this was Solo acting on his own, and I shouldn't even say on his own, acting without the approval of Roman Reigns. They made that very clear by what Paul Heyman was saying, that this was not on the orders of Roman Reigns. This was not on the orders of the tribal chief. And this is where the Bloodline Civil War begins. You've been wondering for a while, when is it going to come? When is Roman going to lose Solo? I always thought maybe it would happen whenever he lost the title, that would play into it, where if it was WrestleMania, there comes a point in the match where he loses Solo and Solo walks out on him. Maybe he gets hit by accident, or Roman is yelling at him or something. And they didn't do that. But we knew that a Bloodline Civil War at some point was going to come. Tama breeds new life into the group, but he's not the only one. And so now it begs the question, when do we see Jacob Fatu? Jacob Fatu has reportedly signed with WWE. He was also backstage at WrestleMania. I don't know if he was backstage tonight. It's possible. But Jacob Fatu is going to be coming in very soon. Jacob Fatu fits in here like a glove. I've been singing his praises for a while, talking about how, man, he would fit so perfectly in that Bloodline. And it, like, coming out of WrestleMania, coming out of when Roman loses that title, he would be the perfect addition to the Bloodline. Whoever it is that he replaces, that's kind of how I always envisioned it, where he would come in and he would replace somebody. You could even have him and Solo doing some tag matches together, representing the Bloodline. He's coming in. It's just a matter of when. It's not a matter of if. But in the back later, Kayla Braxton was standing outside the trainer's room where Jimmy was. And Paul Heyman walks out of the trainer's room. And he looks like he has seen a ghost. He looks like Jimmy died on the table or something. And he just got the news. So he walks out of the room and Kayla says, is Jimmy okay? And Heyman just shakes his head and said, to say no. And then he tensed up again because he saw Tama Tonga walked up to him. And Tama is just kind of looking him over. He's looking him up and down. And then Tama leans in and he says to him, by orders of the tribal chief. And Heyman looks confused by this. Solo Sikoa walks up and he actually smiles and he flashes his taped up thumb. And then he walks away. And then Heyman wonders to himself, what the hell does that mean? What does that mean? Like, he has no idea. So that could mean any number of different things. The one thing that it clearly does not mean is that Roman Reigns did not give that order. So if Roman Reigns did not give the order, was it The Rock? Is The Rock the one who gave the order? Because they didn't say final boss. They said by orders of the tribal chief. So, is Solo Sikoa the new tribal chief? He was being talked up by Roman for months there as the heir apparent. Remember that time on SmackDown where he put his arm around Solo and called him the next in line, and Jimmy was all offended by that? And we saw Solo here, right? He flashed a smile and he walked away. He's being more assertive. Is he taking over as the new tribal chief? Or are they basically talking about The Rock? Which is what I tend to think here. I mean, words matter. Again, they didn't say final boss. They said tribal chief. But, either way, we are in for a completely new Bloodline, possibly with Paul Heyman at some point being pulled in both directions and Paul Heyman having to make a choice. Which side are you on? Yeah, he's Roman's wise man, but right now he's with this crew here. Maybe Heyman gets stuck in the middle and Heyman has to make a decision about where his loyalty lies. So we'll see where things go with him. But what I think we're looking at is you're looking on one side, you're going to have Solo Sikoa, Tama Tonga, and Jacob Fatu. On the other side, You're going to have Roman Reigns, a newly babyface Roman Reigns, reuniting with his cousins Jimmy and Jay. The Usos reunion is coming soon. And we're going to get Roman and the Usos back together on one side, 3-on-3. The Rock, of course, is the wild card here. That would be 4-on-3. Because whatever side Roman, you know, wherever Roman lands, Rock will be on the opposing side. Because Rock is the one who's pulling the strings here. Rock is still the boss, right? He's still the top dog here. And so he's the one who's pulling the strings. He's the one ultimately giving the orders. And so I am very, very curious now to see which direction they go in here. What role Jacob Fatu ultimately fills. Is Jacob Fatu the new tribal chief, right? Maybe he's the new tribal chief. I don't know. But it's interesting to wonder, you know, how they're going to take this here. If Rock is able to come back and he's going to have his match with Cody, which they teased on Monday, if they're not going to wait for WrestleMania next year and they're going to do it at SummerSlam, which might be a stretch, but if they can work it out where Rock is back by SummerSlam, then maybe Roman is back by then, and Roman costs Rock. You know, as things play out and we find out Rock is the one who made the call and everything, that could then lead to Roman and Rock. I mean, there's a lot of, there's just a lot of possibilities here. I'm very intrigued. You know, there's, like I said, Rock and Cody possibly at SummerSlam with Roman getting involved. You got War Games coming up at the end of the year. Then by then we get into WrestleMania 41. Maybe that's where we get Rock and Roman. That would make the most sense. They have my attention. They have my attention. Job well done. This is only one night here, but job well done. I am invested now to see where this goes. And I love it. I'm happy for Tama Tonga too, because 14 years he spent in New Japan. And, you know, he's older than most people are when they are first brought into WWE. But this is obviously a great spot for him to be in. And now he'll get to go out there and show what he can do. Jacob Fatu coming in, he's tremendously talented. And I have been waiting for a while to see him get this shot. So we should be seeing him very soon, and I'm highly intrigued. So this was excellent stuff. Now we see where the story plays out. See, when one chapter closes, another one begins. Just because Roman... And there were people saying Roman needs to continue to hold the title and he's got to, you know, pass this person and that and let him hold it for another year. Him holding the title hostage like that for another year would have been the worst possible thing that they could do. He had to lose the title for them to get to this point. If Roman is still the champion, none of this is happening. If they decide, hey, you know what, we'll go another 6 months, we'll go another 12 months with him. This that we're seeing right now, this doesn't happen. So for the story to really, truly get interesting again, Roman had to lose at WrestleMania. It was the best possible creative decision they could make. Regardless of whatever bullshit record that people wanted to talk about with Hogan or anything else, this is exactly what needed to be done. This is the right call. Now we got a Cameron Grimes appearance on SmackDown. The man lives. I was a little concerned. I wasn't sure if he was still around anymore. I saw him in the ring. I said, wow, he lives, he breathes. There he is, Cameron Grimes. The man lives. And then Bron Breakker came out, and I thought to myself, the man dies. Grand opening, grand closing for poor Cameron Grimes. Bron, by the way, has new theme music as well. You know, I would be okay with changing people's music if they ever actually improved it. You know, you want to give somebody a new theme song, as long as it's better than the one they had before, go for it. Great. But when they actually downgrade, that's what I have a problem with. Not to say his first theme song was any great shakes. Even his first theme song sounded kind of generic, but I would not call this an upgrade from what he had before. Braun ran the ropes at about 50 miles an hour. He turned Cameron Grimes inside out with a Steiner line. Grimes later on tried a springboard crossbody from the middle rope. And undershot. Clearly, didn't get enough distance on it, but Braun made it look like he caught him on the way down, and then he pulled the straps down, and he speared this man clear in half, and then he pinned him. This was a fun little squash here. I feel bad for Cameron Grimes, but This is the role that he has been slotted in, clearly, here on this show. Just the fact that he got television time is amazing to me. I completely forgot they even had him on the roster. Rest in peace, Cameron Grimes. You know, we have too many people in wrestling right now who all utilize the spear. It's the one thing I'll actually agree with Goldberg about. Got everybody and their mother doing a spear. I like the fact that this man right here, if there was one person in wrestling today that I would bestow the spear upon and nobody else can use the move, this is the guy. There is nobody in wrestling that does a spear as devastating as Bron Breakker. It's the closest thing to Goldberg in his prime. This right here. This guy has a knack for making it look like he is absolutely killing the other person that he is in the ring with. He's not hugging them. He's not tackling them down. He is destroying them. Then we have the new WWE Women's Champion, Bayley, fresh off of her win at WrestleMania over Io Sky, coming out for a promo. And yes, I'm aware of the fact that Edge was using the spear before Braun. Edge is a little bit older. He's been around for a while longer than Bron Breakker. Edge does not have as good of a spear as Bron Breakker. Edge should retire the spear and just deliver it on a platter to Bron Breakker and let him use it. Bobby Lashley, all of them. I don't care who was using it first. Nobody does it better than this guy. We have Bayley in the ring. Crowd chanted, "You deserve it." She said that it felt good to hear them chanting that. She said her win at WrestleMania felt so special because it was different. She felt that it was different because she got to be the champion of a new, exciting era, which represented the best women's locker room in memory. She gave thanks for the fans who have been there with her now for 11 years, thanking them for never giving up on her. Edge. Now we have all the Edge spear hate now in the chat. The best spear that Edge ever delivered, and the only one that really anybody will ever talk about, is the one that he gave to Jeff Hardy off the ladder at WrestleMania X7. That should have been the end of it because there was no topping that. Otherwise, it looks like he's hugging his opponent. So before Bayley could continue, she was interrupted by Tiffany Stratton. And Tiffany said that she accepts Bayley's open challenge because it was Tiffy time. And Bayley said, "Well, actually, I'm not here to do an open challenge. In fact, I actually had a very specific name in mind. And this person is someone who returned at the Royal Rumble, and the person she was referring to was Naomi." So Stratton protested. That brought Naomi out to the ring, and Tiffany bragged about having already beaten Naomi, who responded that, "Look, Bayley, she appreciates it. She cannot accept Bayley's invitation to challenge her for the title because she wants to take on Tiffany Stratton right here and right now." And so, after a break, that led to Naomi one-on-one with Tiffany Stratton, which was joined already in progress. Stratton tripped Naomi on the second rope and landed a hip attack. Two of them ended up on the apron. Naomi hit a head kick. Stratton responded by running Naomi into the ring post and then sent her to the floor. That sent us into the commercial break. Naomi fired up, landed an enziguri, followed by a seated drop kick in the corner. And she hit the split pin from the second rope, only got a near fall out of it. Stratton hit a double stomp coming off the ropes. Naomi was seated, and so hits the double stomp. Then came an Alabama slam, and Tiffany headed up for the prettiest moonsault ever. Naomi avoided it. Tiffany rolled through, and Naomi then got a jackknife pin for the surprise win. I thought this was pretty pedestrian stuff from these two. Naomi is a good first challenger for Bayley. I feel the same way about her that I do AJ with Cody. These are two good names, I think, to slot in there for their first title defenses. And they're not waiting for Backlash either. They're doing the match with Bayley and Naomi next Friday on SmackDown. Tiffany, she falls short. If anybody is upset over Tiffany Stratton not winning, let me remind you that Tiffany Stratton only made her first appearance on the main roster in the Royal Rumble in January. And then she debuted on SmackDown in February. It is now April. This woman is a baby. She's only been on the main roster for a matter of weeks. She is going to be a world champion. She is going to be where Bianca Belair used to be, where she was new on the roster, and then she made her way to WrestleMania, and she beat Becky to win the title. Like, she's going to have all the success in the world. Tiffany is great. In fact, I have Tiffany pegged to win the briefcase. I think she's going to be the Women's Money in the Bank winner. So if you're a big Tiffany Stratton fan, calm yourself. She's going to be just fine. I think that briefcase belongs to her. After the match, we got a vignette featuring A-Town Down Under. Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, they were celebrating. They were walking around all these different places with their new SmackDown Tag Team titles and putting themselves over. They cut to the back. Nick Aldis is standing there with the Street Profits and the New Catch Republic, having just watched this video. And Aldis said that he would find challengers for Theory and Waller for next week. Speaking of tag teams, we had Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair. They were revealed as the mystery opponents for Chelsea Green and Piper Niven, who earlier in the day had requested from Nick Aldis that he give them some competition. This was the competition that he came up with for them. Bianca started off with a standing spine buster on Chelsea, who quickly tagged Niven in. And I should point out here, there was a certain something that happened. You may have missed it. But early on here at the beginning of this match, on screen, if you look right now, there it is. You see a message. There was a glitch. And a little message very quickly appeared on screen that said, "You forgot about us." Us being the key word. There was a glitch like this on Raw as well. During a Bronson Reed backstage promo. And clearly it has to do with Uncle Howdy. And I wondered at the time, I said, I wonder if Alexa Bliss, when she comes back, if Alexa Bliss might be tied into this stuff. Now there can be no doubt about that because of the reference to us, implying more than one person. So we're going to see more of these glitches, I'm sure, on TV in the coming weeks, but that is what it is in reference to. So as Bianca tried to tag Jade into the match, Piper grabbed her by the braid to prevent it, ended up hitting a sit-down powerbomb. Bianca avoided the diving splash, which allowed her to tag in Jade. Chelsea was the legal woman. Jade, by the way, made short work of her on Raw Monday night, so this was kind of the follow-up to that, the sequel. And this went about as long as the match on Monday did. Once Jade tagged in, she made short work of Chelsea. Didn't really do much. Finished her off with the Jaded and got the win for her and Bianca. So we did not get it at WrestleMania like I originally thought that we might. But clearly, this is building to Jade and Bianca challenging the Kabuki Warriors for the women's tag team titles. And they should win them, and I have every expectation that they will. And you give them a run for a while. Again, there's not much of a division. I say run. I mean, what kind of a run can they even have? But you put the belts on them, let them run with it for a few months at least. And as we get deeper, you know, into the year, and this shouldn't happen before SummerSlam. SummerSlam at the earliest. Eventually, you get Bianca against Jade. You know, they run with the tag belts for a while. Things go wrong. They lose them, and they head for Splitsville. We get the singles match. Tags are a good place for Jade to be right now. I think this is the perfect place for her. And she does that, tags with Bianca, while at the same time, I assume she's still putting the work in at the PC. I think that's the right formula. In the back, Kevin Owens is talking with Byron Saxton. And he says, you know those long camera shots that we've been getting on TV lately? He goes, I like those. He goes, you know what? I'd like to get one right now. So he takes the microphone out of Byron's hand, and he begins to walk, because his match is coming up next. And as he starts walking, now they're in the back, right? No fans around or anything like that. They're in the back, and he comes upon a merch table that is just randomly sitting there. And it has one of those custom Detroit Tigers title belts, because they have this deal with MLB. All the MLB teams, they have custom WWE title belts. So they have a Detroit Tigers one. Of course, the people watching in the building, you could hear them pop in the background. Owens takes the belt. He puts it over his shoulder. That's not even the best part of this, though. The best part is after he picks the belt up and kind of puts it around his shoulder, there is a stack of CM Punk shirts on the table. And he just grabs the CM Punk shirts and shoves them off the table and onto the floor. And then proceeds to keep walking. That's going to be a fun program when that day eventually comes. When we get Kevin Owens and CM Punk on promos on TV, that's going to be fun. Funny enough, the heat there from Owens, you know, to Punk actually stems from a t-shirt incident in Ring of Honor, which I've talked about on the podcast before. You can look it up if you don't know it. But Owens still has the mic and he's walking towards the gorilla position. He says, you know, he wants the WWE title and he really hopes that AJ Styles is still suffering from PTSD. And he notes that he and Ray, they both have sons that are taller than they are, but his son is awesome and Dominic sucks. So he ends up in the gorilla position and he says, look, to sum it all up, he wants the title. He'll beat both their asses to get it. He tells Bruce to hit his music and then he proceeds through the curtain on his way to the ring. That's the second mention of Bruce Pritchard in less than a week. Cody called him out to the ring at the end of WrestleMania. And he got a cameo, and he came to the ring, and he hugged Cody. And so Bruce gets a name drop here. I guess this is their vote of confidence in Bruce Pritchard, since the comments that Ronda Rousey made about him. Ronda Rousey is no fan of Bruce Pritchard. Probably has good reason for it. But Bruce ain't going nowhere. So the main event was AJ Styles against Rey Mysterio against Kevin Owens. Triple threat match. The winner would go on to meet LA Knight on SmackDown next week to crown a number one contender. The match started with Mysterio and Styles. They were going at it. Owens clotheslined AJ to the floor. Owens threw AJ against the barricade. Backed up. Came flying in with a cannonball. Mysterio flattened Owens with a splash, and that sent us to our final commercial break of the show. Mysterio countered and attempted Owens' power slam into a DDT. Then he had AJ set up for the 619. When he came in for it and swung his legs around, AJ caught his legs and lifted him up for the Ushiguroshi, back of the neck, right across the knee. Styles fought Owens in the corner until Ray came back. He sent him outside. Ray then made the unfortunate mistake of attempting to superplex Kevin Owens, which, if you've watched a Kevin Owens match, you know what comes next. Kevin Owens was able to reverse that into a fisherman's buster off the ropes, only for a near fall, though, because AJ broke up the pin. Owens responded with a super kick. He went for a pop-up powerbomb. AJ avoided it and landed a Pele kick. All three then worked this cool spot. They were kind of in the corner, and they did this triple-stack German suplex. It was really Owens who German suplex both of them at the same time. AJ goes flying. Ray's kind of on top. He goes flying and flips over. Owens then monkey flips Mysterio, who lands a head scissors on AJ and sends him to the middle rope in perfect position for the 619. This time the 619 connects. And Owens then hits a stunner on the apron to Rey Mysterio, who takes a bump. I wrote dump here. No, he did not take a dump on the floor, but Rey took a bump to the floor. Now, I wonder if Fox would have censored that. If Fox censors everything else. When Tama Tonga came out, you had people in the crowd chanting, holy shit, there was like 10 seconds of silence. They muted the audio. I wonder what Fox would do if Rey Mysterio was just like, man, I can't hold it in anymore. And he took a dump from the apron to the floor. That'd be pretty fucking nasty. Anyway, that took Rey Mysterio out of the equation here. Fucking autocorrect. Owens then attempted a swanton bomb from the top rope to AJ. AJ, though, got the knees up. Styles and Mysterio, they battled on the ropes. The finish was fantastic. AJ hits a Styles clash off the ropes, an avalanche Styles clash, onto Kevin Owens, who's laid out on the mat. So he gives him a Styles clash onto Owens and then immediately rolls, like transitions over into a pin, and he pins Rey Mysterio to win the match. That finish was awesome. That finish was great. The Z-Packs Poor Rey Mysterio, man. You know, the doctor, yeah, he was sick, and the doctor gave him one too many Z-Packs. And unfortunately, you know, when it comes to some of these medications, these antibiotics, that's one of the side effects. When you gotta go, you gotta go. That's why you just hope you're wearing black gear. Anyway, AJ Styles, he advances next week to a match with a WrestleMania rematch, I should say, with LA Knight to decide who challenges Cody Rhodes at Backlash. LA Knight walked into the ring. No music or fancy entrance. It's just here he comes, and he walks into the ring, and he and AJ go face to face, and the two talk shit to each other until it was time to fade out. I thought this was a really fun sprint here with these three. I enjoyed the triple German spot. I thought the finish was awesome. It was the right person going over here. Again, once you saw the lineups for who was in these two triple threat matches, it should have been obvious if you're paying any attention who was going to go over. We were going to get the WrestleMania rematch. And what it means is that next week we're going to get AJ Styles as the number one contender for the WWE title. And that is a great choice. It is not a position, I should point out, that AJ Styles is unfamiliar with. And I will take you back to the year that AJ debuted in WWE. AJ went to WrestleMania in 2016, and he lost in his very first WrestleMania match. He lost to Chris Jericho. And what happened after that? He proceeded to wrestle Roman Reigns in back-to-back pay-per-view main events coming out of that show for the WWE Championship. And not only did he wrestle Roman Reigns, but he gave Roman two excellent matches at Payback and Extreme Rules, even though he had lost at WrestleMania. And I'm not trying to justify it. I'm just saying it's not a position that is unfamiliar to AJ. He will do the same thing for Cody, possibly for more than one show. He will go in there. We know those two can tear it up. They could even play off of their respective histories in Bullet Club, right? They weren't really together, but they both share that in common. And I'm sure Paul Levesque here in this new era would not shy away from drawing attention to something that happened outside of WWE. So I look forward to that. And look, it is a valid question to ask. If you are of the belief that this makes no sense, why then, if AJ was going to be the number one contender coming out of WrestleMania, would you not just have him beat LA Knight at WrestleMania? It's a perfectly logical question. It's the exact reason why I predicted and picked AJ to win at WrestleMania. AJ did not win at WrestleMania, but that was my line of thinking because I thought AJ is going to be the number one contender. He's going to be Cody's first challenger, so it makes sense for him to win, and then he didn't. The reason that he didn't win is because they didn't want to beat LA Knight. They wanted to give LA Knight his very first win at WrestleMania. They wanted him to go over. He's the one that has the momentum right now, not AJ. Now they're going to have to turn around and beat him next week anyway. But at least he's got that win under his belt. At least he doesn't come out of WrestleMania a loser, and then he goes into next week and loses for a second time. But yes, it would have made more sense to just have AJ go over at WrestleMania. At least LA Knight has something that Asuka does not have. At least LA Knight has a win at WrestleMania. Unfortunately, I cannot say the same for her. This was a fun episode of SmackDown. I thought it was better than Raw, largely carried by that Bloodline segment. I think it's going to make for some fun television in the future coming up in the months ahead. I look forward to seeing Jacob Fatu make his debut on the main roster and seeing what Tama Tonga can do and how this story plays out. I'm hoping we don't have to wait until August or, you know, something like that to see Roman back on TV. I don't expect him to be back next week, but I'm hoping. We know Rock is going to be gone. It would suck if Rock and Roman are gone for months and months at a time. But again, it was a necessary move to continue this Bloodline story. Without adding new blood, the story is dead. This is something that had to be done. Here's the Twitter poll. What did you think of SmackDown tonight? 81% thumbs up for tonight's show so far, 12% thumbs in the middle, and just shy of 7% thumbs down. Very strong rating there for SmackDown tonight. I cannot vouch for last week's show. If it was better than last week, probably was better than last week's show, but I didn't see last week's show. I was not here for last week's show. But it's good to be back. I think I picked a good week to come back here this week. So go ahead and vote on Twitter at Solomonster. And let me know what you thought of SmackDown tonight. Well, let's see what you guys thought of this show here. I'm going to go through your super chats, and I want to say thank you to everybody who has dropped the dono, not only tonight, but all week. You guys killed it the other night. Holy shit. So I thank you for that. We're going to kick things off here, though, with the folks from the very beginning who dropped some love here before I went live, as we always do. We'll start with those guys. The Real CSO2 says, rest in peace, giant LED stage. You will not be missed. I'm a huge fan of it. I love it. I hope they keep that going forward. I think that the plan is for them to keep that going forward. I am completely in favor of it. In fact, I have a suggestion for how they can make it even better. And I'll talk about that on the podcast on Sunday. I can't give everything away here. Come on. Got to spread some of the love out here. I got plenty of more content I got to produce. The Real CS also says, just thought of something. Do you think the plan was always for Rock and Roman? And I'm talking about well before Roman turned heel, as far back as 2015. I think that's what The Rock has said. Do I think that WWE always envisioned that from day one when Roman had just gotten out of the Shield? No. I don't think that they had this like, okay, one day we're going to have this huge thing. Do I think Rock was thinking along those lines? You know, like when he raised Roman's hand at the Royal Rumble in Philly in 2015, like one day this will be a match? Yeah, maybe. Maybe he thought one day he would wrestle his cousin. I don't think it was something that the company had, you know, set in stone 5 years ago or 8 years ago. Crypto and Poker, GOAT of podcasting, who wins a promo battle, Enzo or MJF? Is that even a question? MJF. Joseph Brooks, I know we fans often talk about dream matches in wrestling, and I know you're not a huge fan of multi-man matches, but are there some dream three-way matches that you would have wanted to see? Not three-way matches. I'm just not a big fan of the multi-man stuff. There are plenty of matches that we never got to see that I would have loved to have seen. You know, Bret and Kurt would have been at the top of my list. Rock and Shawn. There's been plenty of those. Triple threats. I mean, it could be any number of people from the past mixed in with people of today that I think would have been cool. But no, I can't say that there's like a triple threat that I always wanted to see because, you know, I didn't grow up a wrestling fan even into my teens and you know, into my 20s thinking, man, that dream triple threat match. Like, nah, I always thought of dream matches as one-on-one. It's the way it should be. Joseph also says, do you think this will be the feud lineup for Cody before he gets Rock? First AJ, then Lashley, then LA Knight, and then Jey Uso, and then The Rock. No. No, I don't see that. I don't even know that there are going to be that many people before he gets to Rock. If they can do the match at SummerSlam, then I think we're only looking at maybe two people. Because you can get multiple matches out of AJ. You can get multiple matches out of one other person. And then you can do Rock at SummerSlam. If Rock is not going to be back in time and they do it at WrestleMania next year, now you're opening it up to other people. There's always Randy Orton. Depending on if they end up on the same brand. Prince Vegeta says, remember when Cameron Grimes got the fastest win in SmackDown history? Well, that went nowhere. You know, I actually don't remember that. Until you just brought it up just now, I did not remember that, no. But thank you for reminding me. Hey, SEB Drea, Seb Drea, thank you very much. Informationist with the 999. The Rock is the tribal chief that called the order. He'll have the bloodline attack Roman. Roman returns at SummerSlam and costs Rock the title. A title match, setting up their WrestleMania match. That's one way it could go. That's one of many ways it could go. It really is up to Rock. If Rock comes back in time to do the match with Cody, you do Cody first. You can't do Rock and Roman until you do Rock and Cody first. They already set that up on Monday. If Rock is not going to be back in time to do a match at SummerSlam, it pushes everything back. Detective Tyler says, the tribal chief takes accountability. Seeds are being planted for Roman's babyface turn. Solo can now do something other than be a mute. Usos can now reunite. And Tama debuts. This is great. What have I been saying to you for months? I have been saying it for the longest time. This entire angle, this entire Bloodline story from day one, has been designed, when it is done and when it runs its course, it is designed to turn Roman Reigns into a mega babyface. That is exactly what is going to end up happening here. And this time he'll be over organically as a babyface. He won't be a babyface because somebody wanted him to be and then they shove him down your throat. He'll organically get over as a babyface that the people will want to cheer for. The Carlosis. All this OJ talk got me remembering that Gangsters promo in Smoky Mountain. Say what you will about New Jack, the man could get heat with white people. Maybe not as much as OJ. Yeah, maybe not quite as much. Just a little bit less. Nash DTV just wanted to mention how fine Tiffany Stratton looked tonight. So we got a big Tiffany Stratton fan here, I see. We got some more early ones here that came in. We got the Juliet says Civil War Part 2. Raph says, I need a grogger for whenever Vince's name is said. Dom Joseph, did Vince watch WrestleMania? Don't give a shit. I know that his personal trainer was complaining and crying on Instagram that Vince was not allowed at WrestleMania. I would love, I picture it in my head, like Vince walking up to the gates at Lincoln Financial Field and just not being allowed in. I'm sorry, sir, your name's not on the list. Or they actually have a list that has his picture on it, like the people who shoplift in stores and they take their picture and kind of stick it to the wall. Like they got a picture of him and they look at him and they go, yeah, you're not allowed in, sir. And he's got to turn around, his limo turns around, he goes right back home. Fuck that guy. Super Pony, you think Kevin Owens will go to AEW when his contract expires next year? It feels like he's never going to be a world champion again in WWE. No, I do not. I think if Kevin Owens was going to go to AEW, he would have gone when his most recent contract was up. Him and Sammy both. And they're very happy, I think, with the positions that they are in. I don't get the impression that Kevin Owens is unhappy with what they have him doing right now. Is he going to be a world champion again? I don't know. I don't know if he will or not, but I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he is in a very good position right where he is. Lord Frieza. What's going on, Lord Frieza? Salamaser, happy to be here today. How long until we see Jacob Fatu? I think we are only weeks away. I think we're talking weeks. We're not talking months. Bruce Wilson. Another Bruce. This is the nicer Bruce. With the $9.99, do you think The Rock handed Cody Dusty's Hall of Fame ring? No, because I think Cody already has Dusty's Hall of Fame ring in his possession. So, no, I do not. This is a journey called life. I went to order SmackDown tickets for the Barclays Center today, and it is sold out. That is happening a lot. That is happening a lot with these WWE shows. Tonight they said it was sold out, right? So tonight, I think, would have been their 18th straight sellout or something. I mean, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Hey, Nick, yes, I mentioned that in the review. So, yeah, Barclays Center being sold out for SmackDown, not a surprise. I think they're coming back to Madison Square Garden at the end of June. And they've already said, I think PW Insider mentioned they're going to have the... unfortunately, they don't have the old MSG short aisle anymore. They got rid of it because they renovated the building. But they are going to have the smaller set when they go to MSG in June. Joey, Says it's good to see Tama Tonga in a major storyline. Never understood why he never got a main event push in New Japan. Prince Vegeta says, for the first time in 4 years, we have two first-time world champs in WWE. Last time it was McIntyre and Braun Strowman. It's good. It's good to get some fresh blood. I'm happy for Damian Priest. If you did not see it, WWE on their YouTube channel, they posted a vlog. A Damian Priest vlog is about 8 minutes long of his day at WrestleMania before and after. It's a great video. Make sure you check that out. It's got some good footage in there of him with his family in the back. The Rock comes over to congratulate him. Undertaker comes over and he introduces Undertaker to his family. And you see the other members of the Judgment Day, like in the gorilla position, watching as he runs out to cash in. And just how legitimately happy for him they are. Like, they have become a family. They truly have. And to see how happy they were for him before and after, Balor, like, when he comes back through the curtain, like, you see, if you look in the background, you see Finn Balor. He's, like, you know, patting his eyes away, crying happy tears. It's a good piece of business. Make sure you check that out. Heart of Debonair. With the $10 super chat, I knew Solo was turning the way he yelled at the RR during Mania. I guess he means Roman Reigns. Yeah, well, Solo, that's a good point, actually, because Solo, at one point, just before John Cena came out in the main event of WrestleMania, he was telling Roman, because he was trying to, like, get up, let's go, finish this. So he was yelling at Roman, and we had not seen him do that before, so that's a good pickup. He says, Roman versus Solo, Fatu interferes, Tama versus Jimmy, then reveal Rock the High Chief, Roman Reigns, Usos reunite, Ken Bloodline top NWO, PS watch Ozark. Everybody should watch Ozark. I finished Ozark, whenever the last season ended. Ozark is one of my favorite shows. Ozark is on Netflix. Jason Bateman. Make sure you watch that show. Can it top the NWO? I mean, I hate to even compare the two, because the NWO was such it will not top the NWO. It will top the NWO as far as a story that they dragged out over a long period of time that they did not completely run into the ground and fuck up. To that end, it has already beaten the NWO. But I cannot sit here and ever tell you that, oh, this is better than the NWO. The NWO, that whole story, led to such a boom period in the business. And it in many ways led to where we are today, wrestling being where it is today. That's how instrumental of a storyline that was. There's almost nothing the WWE can do now that will have the impact that the NWO had. And maybe newer fans, I don't know, I'm not saying you're one of them, but maybe newer fans really can't appreciate that or understand it if they didn't live through it. No story the WWE could ever do, or any promotion, frankly, could ever do right now would top the impact of the NWO and just how hot and how instrumental that story was in the wrestling business. It can't be done. Now, you could say, by the time the Bloodline stuff is over, and you can't judge it now because it's not over yet, but if we look back on this in 5 years or 10 years, once the whole thing finally is over, we might be able to look at it and go, you know what, as a story, man, the Bloodline blew the NWO out of the water. There were all these twists and turns and layers to it and new people that were introduced, and you know, the NWO, they just kept throwing people in there. They had fucking Vincent and Michael Wall Street and every Tom, Dick, and Jane they threw in the NWO. They completely watered it down. But you cannot compare the impact that that had to any other faction or storyline. I'm sorry. In the history of the business, there's just no comparison. There's no comparison whatsoever. Damn it, Dan, with that $50 Gunthar bomb from earlier. Damn it, Dan. Thank you very much. He says, I'm a Kevin Owens fan for life after he sported that Detroit Tigers title. Buy, rent, or sell on my all-time favorite wrestler, Kurt Angle's best opponent, Brock Lesnar, Chris Benoit, or Shawn Michaels. P.S. I wish we had Kurt Angle against Bret Hart. Man, you and me both, brother. You and me both. Bret used to say that he would wake up sometimes, he would dream, and he would wake up like in a cold sweat, having dreamt about being in a match with Kurt. That's how you know, like, you just have wrestling on the brain all the time, and you fucking dream about it. And, yeah, we never got that, but, man, best opponent of the three for Kurt. I mean, it's either Brock or Benoit. I'm inclined to go Brock. I'm going to go Benoit, and then Michaels is last. Josiah Ball says, you're the GOAT, Solomonster. Josiah, thank you for saying that. Gonna make me blush. Casper the Tryhard. Roman's return, along with him eventually recruiting... he left the sea off. Recruiting Odie. What is this, Garfield? Recruiting Odie to help him fight the bloodline is going to hit like a ladder to Joey Mercury's face. Oh, man. Poor Joey Mercury. The man almost got killed by that ladder to the face. Thank you, Casper. Jerome Eugenio. No offense to all the guys in the bloodline, but it has not been entertaining since Sammy was in the group. So, Jerome, no fan of the bloodline without Sami Zayn. That was a special time. That was a special time with Sammy in there. Retro KOH. Not that it matters, but WWE's site technically recognizes Cody as a two-time world champ. WWE and Universal currently. Concurrently. They need to get rid of the Universal title already. This is silly. Yeah, just get rid of the fucking belt, please. Can we get rid of this Universal shit already? My God. My God, we already have a World Heavyweight title on the other brand. Let's just have a WWE title and a World Heavyweight title. Enough with this Universal garbage. Uffman Entertainment, Uncle Dave didn't think it was a 5-star match. Well, that's Uncle Dave's opinion. Uncle Dave shaved off a quarter of a star for the Night 2 WrestleMania main event. I almost did too, just by virtue of Austin not showing up. But to me, that's a 5-star match. If he thinks it's a 4.75-star match, I don't give a fuck. That's his opinion. Donnie Yasu. I can't remember the last time I was on a wrestling high from a PLE, but been on one since Mania. I hope this momentum keeps rolling. I'm curious how the crowd in France is going to be. I don't know what to expect. You know, they go to some of these international locations, and the crowd is just, like, red hot. They went to Cardiff, you know, for Clash at the Castle. They went to, I know the Puerto Rico show wasn't international technically, but, you know, they had not had a pay-per-view in so many years. And that crowd was on fire the entire night. Really from the opening match with Bianca and Io. So, I don't know. We've never had a WWE pay-per-view in France. I don't know what to expect. I hope the people there are hot for it. Should be a fun show. Hey, Seb, thank you for the $2, the $2.50. I appreciate it. Mr. J with the $2 says, what up, everyone? Will Goldust ever return to WWE? Goldust will not. Never say never on Dustin Rhodes. Dustin, though, has said that he's very happy in AEW. So I believe him when he says it, that he's happy in AEW. I think Dustin would be a fine addition, though, to the training staff they have down at the Performance Center. But I think Dustin is running his own school now. Pretty sure he has his own school. So Goldust, no. Dustin, who knows, maybe one day. But not as a wrestler. Rizzo. Could this be the next War Games? Usos and Roman against Solo, Fatu, and Tonga. That's exactly what I was thinking. I mean, War Games is a ways off. And who knows, by then there could be extra people. It could be 4-on-4 instead of 3-on-3. But we're probably looking at a Bloodline War Games the way it looks right now. Maybe even Cody. Maybe Cody on Team Roman. And then you have somebody else on the opposing side with Solo and Tonga and Fatu. Alex with the $10 super chat. Brother Solo, I know you are super busy with the amount of content, but do you have any future plans of reviewing major NXT shows or pay-per-views? I do not. I did do a stand and deliver review, though. I mean, it was a brief one. I didn't see the entire show, but if you missed it, go back and check out episode 856. I did talk about stand and deliver. I talked about the triple threat, which I thought was the match of what I saw. The Oba Femi North American title defense. And I talked about the women's title match. I talked about Trick and Mello. I don't watch as much NXT as I used to. I'm not as into it as I used to be. So I drop in here and there, but the interest level just isn't what it used to be. And clearly I'm not alone because you are, and I'm not even joking, like you are one of maybe three people. I have not done a proper NXT weekly review, I think, in probably 5 months, and I've had maybe three people bring it up. People just don't care. And there's been so much going on, it's just not a priority, so probably not. But Oba Femi is very impressive. He's going to be a big star for them. Mr. Ruby Dog, favorite Chris Colt movie? None of the above. None of the above. For the two people watching this who may get that reference. I will review that, though. I will be reviewing that episode of Dark Side of the Ring. I actually missed reviewing the Harley Race one, and I went back and put some notes together. I will be reviewing both episodes of Dark Side of the Ring on Sunday. The Harley Race episode and the Chris Colt episode. And then that Chris Colt reference will make sense to many of you. Broken Lion, with all the teases of Uncle Howdy, when do you see his and Alexa's return? Soon. I don't know exactly when, but the fact that we're getting the glitches means it's coming in the next couple of months, probably. I would expect to actually see them back on TV no later than June. So I think probably within the next 8 weeks or so. NWO Matt, 125. Solomonster, what is the contract situation of Tangaloa? Is there any shot at seeing G.O.D. versus the Usos? I haven't heard anything about Tangaloa's contract being up soon, so I don't think he's coming in anytime soon. The funny thing is, at almost the exact same moment that Tama Tonga was making his debut on SmackDown tonight, his brother was wrestling in Chicago at the Windy City Riot. Barry MK, do you think Ray yells 619 as he takes his dump? I don't know. I don't know. No, I think he yells booyaka booyaka as he does that. That's probably what he yells. Dr. Bropio. Man, you people are weird. Dr. Bropio, Moxley just won the IWGP World Title. Ah, there you go. What did I say? The minute they teased that match 2 months ago, before we even knew that it was going to be an IWGP title match, I said Moxley's going to win that belt. You watch, Moxley's going to win the belt, and then he'll probably drop it at Forbidden Door. There you go. I nailed that one. Barry MK, remember the WWE prank show where a security guard would not let Ric Flair in? Ric just walked off pissed. It was great. I do remember that, yes. I do. What was the name of that show? It was very similar to the Punk'd Ashton Kutcher. Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember the name. Rough OD8. Triple H doing amazing with the shows, but oh man, I need him or Nick Khan or anyone to please hire a new music composer. ASAP. Stay cool, Solomonster. Hey, I hear Jim Johnston is available. I'm just saying. Swerved. WWE Swerved. That's right. That was the name of the show. Thank you. Dallas with the $5. Fun fact. AJ Styles once defended the NWA World Heavyweight title against Dusty Rhodes in early TNA. AJ wrestles father and son. Well, I expect that then to be brought up. I expect that to be brought up in a promo with him and Cody, if that's the case. Why not mention that? I mean, Cody already mentioned the fact they're both former NWA champions. Barry says, when Sting joined the NWO, I was just so done with it, it made no sense. Half the shit the NWO did didn't make any sense. I mean, this is what people don't understand. Like, as a story, once you get past the initial invasion and the Sting Hogan stuff and Sting, you know, fighting to be the savior of WCW, once you get beyond that, the NWO story itself was fucking garbage. I mean, it was just terrible. So, yeah, of course, there's a lot of shit that they did with the turns and people going back and forth that didn't make any sense. Richie, so you had two nights of talking about CM Punk, first on Monday, then on Wednesday. He was missing tonight, though. No CM Punk on SmackDown. CM Punk got to be the star on two different wrestling shows this week. Actually, you know what? I take that back. We did talk about CM Punk tonight. When Kevin Owens took the CM Punk shirts and threw them off the merchandise table. So Punk got mentioned here in my Monday, well, actually Saturday. Did I mention him? I did. No, wait, no, I didn't. No, not Saturday. Sunday. Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and now Friday. That's too much. That's too much Punk. Seb, how many dollary dues do we think Steve wanted to stunner Dwayne? I question that report if it was just a money issue. But I was very disappointed that he was not there. Very disappointed. I know he texted Kevin Nash during the show, during WrestleMania, and he asked Kev if he was there. Nash says, no, are you? And he goes, no. He goes, and Austin told him, I think we're the only two people who aren't in Philadelphia. Maybe he just didn't want to do it. You know what? Maybe he just didn't want to do it. But man, that was such a... That would have been an all-time moment there. If that glass would have shattered, we get one last Austin and heel rock moment in the ring. It would have been perfect, too, because, you know, we got them in the ring together at WrestleMania 30. And it just felt wrong having WrestleMania 40. And having all these people there, right? Cena and Rock, and not having Austin. But it was his decision, whatever it was, whether it was money or... can't even say creative. It was just, you know, he would have run in, did a stunner, and that would have been it. It's like the easiest job in the world, but he didn't want to do it. Marios says, so I can't even begin to pronounce that, so I'm not even going to try, but I hope it's a good thing that it means. So thank you, Marios. Give me back Shot Salamonster. What would you rather see in the future? Braun versus Fatu or Oba versus Ilya? Give me Braun versus Fatu. Sign me up for that. I want to see that fucking match. Xeno Slayer. Thank you for the $20, Xeno. If you have a time machine to go back to your favorite moments of any kind in wrestling, to be in the crowd that you never went, what would it be? Oh, I have a few. There's a few moments like that. I've talked about how pissed at myself I was. I didn't go to the Hammerstein for that first ECW One Night Stand show in 2005. So I wish I was in the building for that, because I've been in that building for Ring of Honor many times, but I should have been in the building that night. And I don't know why I wasn't. I would take it all the way back to WrestleMania 3. I think it would have been really cool to be in the crowd, and especially in those first like 20 rows, to see Hogan slam Andre. Just to be there for that moment and to say that you were there. How fucking cool would that have been? And Richie, buy, sell, and rent to spend the night with Rhea Ripley, Mandy Rose, or Alexa Bliss. buy, sell, and rent. Spend the night with what? Playing cards? Watching Hallmark Channel? I don't know. I don't know what you mean. I would happily spend an evening with all three. How about that? How about all three? We'll all play Monopoly together. BW says Jack Perry wore a Cry Me a River jacket tonight. Well, he's going to try to get it over. So all he's got at this point is the playoff of it. That's all he'll ever be associated with now. Morton, do you think Money in the Bank is in need of change? I do. But it still works for them, so if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Preflo Half Dollar. Speaking of random WWE shows, the Bingo Show with Heenan and Gorilla. Oh my god, yes. The Bingo Show. What was it called? Oh, it had a name. It aired on like a public access channel. It was Gorilla Monsoon. I don't think it was Monsoon and Heenan hosting. I think it was Monsoon and someone else. Maybe a woman. And Heenan was on there. And it was just the most random thing. And I think it was in like one market. It's probably on YouTube. Look, put Gorilla Monsoon Bingo. It'll probably come up. It's just like the weirdest thing that you would never expect to see, but it actually happened. And Dixie Normus, why tease Austin on the truck if he is not confirmed? I don't know, but a lot of people got very excited when they did that angle outside in the rain in Chicago with Rock beating up Cody, and then you see the truck in the background. There's Cena. There's Austin. Right behind the Rock. And that got a lot of people talking. So they wanted him, and ultimately it was Austin's call. Austin made the decision not to go. Maybe Poncho the cat on the farm had an emergency. I hope Poncho is doing well. I think Austin is just happy with his chickens and his geese and his cat and his dog. He's got a whole farm going on there. He posted a video yesterday on Instagram complaining about the geese shitting on the top of his truck. So whatever, I guess he's happy enough. Good for him. Thank you very much, though, for all the questions and all the messages. I appreciate it. The goal tonight for Be the Booker was 450. We are currently sitting at 680. Can we get to 700 before I get out of here? Can we get 700 likes on this video? Can we join the 700 club? I don't know. Let's see if you guys can get me there. Let's be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
It is time to be the booker. Richie just dropped a $5 super chat and says, did you know that Steve Austin deactivated his Instagram after WrestleMania 40. Are you talking about like that night? Because I was just on his Instagram yesterday and he posted a new video. So is it deactivated right now, or did he deactivate it earlier in the week? Because if he did, it has since been reactivated. Yeah, because I'm sure he was constantly getting messages like, where were you? How come you weren't there? Missed you at WrestleMania. He probably was getting hate from people, especially now that Meltzer went and posted what he posted in the Observer. Like, oh, you know, you're greedy. You want money. I'd probably do the same thing. All right, here we go. Let's do the deal. We begin here. Tag team, be the booker. With the Mean Street Posse, that is Rodney, that is Pete Gass, and that is Joey Abs. I like the Mean Street Posse. I was a fan of the Posse back in the day. Zachariah says 3 for 3 engaged. I don't know. It depends on what we land on here. Mean Street Posse going to be taking on Kane and the Big Show. Zechariah, you jinxed it. You jinxed it, brother. You had to go and say it, and you jinxed it. Oh, man. Well, we move on anyway. No clean sweep tonight, but we will move on to Women's Be the Booker. We will begin with Dana Brooke. I'm so tempted. I'm so tempted. What is she now in TNA? Ash by Elegance? Is that what she's calling herself? Isn't it like a knockoff Timeless Toni Storm, basically, that she's doing? All right. Dana Brooke is going to go one-on-one with Chyna. There are a few matches I could think of that I would dream of less than Chyna against Dana Brooke. This is not going well. I think Zachariah put a Papa Shango voodoo curse on Be the Booker is what he did. we got like a reverse Asuka. Not a reverse, a reverse Undertaker. We have an Asuka. We have an Asuka. We can turn her into a verb. We have an Asuka going on here. This is terrible. All right, we begin with Al Bundy. Al, 4 touchdowns in 1 game Bundy from Married with Children. This can't be anything but a bell, right? I mean, come on. It's impossible for it to be anything but. We got Al Bundy here. Al Bundy, one-on-one. Should probably spin it. I forgot to spin it. Al Bundy against Bronson Reed. Big Bronson Reed. All right. Well, we got saved. We got saved. Bronson Reed and Al Bundy. Saved from a clean sweep of buzzers, but I would hardly call 1-for-3 a good record. Oh, man. Why don't we add a stipulation just for shits and giggles? I'm curious now. What stipulation would this be? Al Bundy and Bronson Reed in a hair match. Oh, my God. We're going to get bald Bundy. Is today Ed O'Neill's birthday? That's funny. Someone said that, quiz said that today is Ed O'Neill's birthday. See, it was meant to be. How about that? It was meant to be. 78 years old. Wow. Al Bundy is 78 years old. Chris Faplander. Bukaki 619 Abusika. That's right. That's our 60. We haven't seen the $69 super chat this week. We only get to see that's like it's like a special occasion super chat. We only get that one every now and then. Zachariah Sitchin says, I think it's a mistake pushing and treating Mercedes as a babyface. Her babyface promos have always been cringe. Is that her idea or Tony Khan's? I hope Jamie Hayter jumps ship to WWE. I love and miss Jamie Hayter. I miss Jamie Hayter as well. Yeah, I think the real money in Mercedes is as a heel. I think she's a much better natural heel than she is a babyface. I understand maybe wanting to introduce her as a babyface, but I think she needs to be a heel. So I agree. That's what I would have her doing. As far as whose idea it was, I don't think that they would have brought her in doing something that she wasn't in support of. And so I'm going to guess that it was either her idea or she was all on board with it. So we'll see how long it lasts. Richie, better looking diva, Mandy Rose, Rhea Ripley, or Alexa Bliss? I think they're all great. That's a nice try, though. I'll tell you what, if I had to just pick of the three, Mandy Rose, Rhea Ripley, or Alexa Bliss? I am going. This is so ridiculous. I am going Rhea Ripley. I'm going to go Rhea Ripley. Goldberg versus Tavish with the $9.99. Has it been a whole year since the last Hell in a Cell? If so, major credit to Triple H for saving it for a great blow-off feud. Yeah, one thing I think that Triple H will be very good at is utilizing certain gimmicks, namely Hell in a Cell, for when it matters. I'm very happy. I'm sad that it took them as long as it did, but I'm happy that we no longer have the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, which was garbage. It never should have been a thing to begin with. And yeah, I think it has been. I think it's been, it's probably been over a year since we had a Hell in a Cell match. I guess would it have been Edge and Balor? I think that might have been the last one at WrestleMania. Marios. Bukkake, need Bukkake, long live Bukkake. Okay, calm down there, brother. Calm down. He saw that last super chat talking about Mandy and Rhea and Alexa, and he's going crazy here. Creflo half dollar. Is WWE going to let new acquisitions debut under their real / independent wrestling names, or is Tama Tonga a big enough star to debut with his name? I think there will be exceptions. It's always been that way, though. Sometimes somebody slips through and is able to use their name, and most of the time they don't. I think Tama, you know, he's old enough and he's established enough, 14 years in Japan. It's like Nakamura, right? Shinsuke Nakamura, he came over, he's using the same name. I think it has to do with, his equity in the business. It just would not have made a lot of sense for him to come in as anything but Tama Tonga. And Luis. Be the Booker got Tony Khan. Thank you, Luis. Here we got Gio. Gio Ninja Gaiden 86. Saw Jack Perry on my flight to Japan this week. I said hi off the flight, and he was a douche who looked around like I wasn't there. He gave off Nepo Baby vibes. In that moment, I was on Punk's side, LOL. Unfortunately, there have been other stories like that from conventions and stuff, and you hope it's a situation where the guy's having a bad day, but you hear a few stories like that, and it starts to paint a certain picture there. Hey, Gio, thank you. Son Goshuaku. With a $5 super chat, buy or sell on the better match. Drew versus Sheamus versus Gunther at WrestleMania 39, or Cody versus Roman at WrestleMania 40. I go Cody Roman at WrestleMania 40. I had fun watching both those matches. They were both great in their own way. Cody versus Roman delivered exactly what I was looking for. It was fun. It had a great payoff to it. It checked all the boxes. So I would go with Cody and Roman. Jeremy Rose has a $2 coming in. How long until the Cody heel turn? We're already talking about this. Cody is not going to turn heel for a very long time. If ever. People thought John Cena was going to turn heel, and he didn't. I think they look at Cody the same way. Cody is kind of like their new John Cena. Cody is for the kids. We're not getting a Cody heel turn for a while. So you're going to be waiting. Luis, with another $5 super chat, says... Well, let's go with Matthew first. Matthew has a very interesting question in the live chat. Matthew says, if you married Mariah May... would you take her last name or would she take yours? I would take whatever she wants me to take. So if she wants me to be Solo May, I'll become Solo May. That's fine with me. Luis says, Austin Theory and Grayson Waller should have come to Los Angeles and done promos straight from the flats of Belmont High School. Total fools. Mm-hmm. Well, you keep waiting for that, Luis. Maybe one of these days it'll happen. Richie, better looking diva in ranking. Mandy, boy, he's not giving up on that. You're obsessed. You are obsessed. I am the trophy husband. Hey, I am whatever she wants me to be. You know, again, you can't go wrong with any of the three, in all honesty, but I'm going to go Rhea, Alexa, and then Mandy. How's that for a ranking? Rhea, Alexa, and Mandy. Oh, my. There you go. Happy now? Cameron Spencer. The reason I feel Von Wagner. Oh, my God. What the fuck happened to him? I just remembered Von Wagner is a thing. Maybe he's been on NXT. Again, I haven't been paying attention to NXT like I used to. I completely forgot Von Wagner is a free agent. Whatever happened to him? The reason I feel Von Wagner should end Cody's reign. Oh, come on now. Do I even need to read the rest of this message here? The reason I think Von Wagner should end Cody's reign is because he's a future multi-time world champion and Mania main eventer. Do you agree? I do not. No. No, I don't. Maybe you're seeing something I don't. I don't see it. He is on NXT. Has he been? No, but I mean, has he been on the show consistently? Creflo Half Dollar, do the quote marks still think that Cody is secretly signed to AEW and is going to show up on Dynamite next week with the title? I think so, yeah. I think there's a few of them left. I think so. It's like those soldiers who were out in the woods. Now, they didn't realize World War II was over. They had to go get them and say, no, the war is over. I think they're still out there, and they don't realize. You know, it's not happening. He's not coming home. Power Spying Games. We haven't landed on Brie mode in Be the Booker this year. Well, the year is young, but let's hope it stays that way. I'd like it if it stayed that way. What is he smoking? Oh, he's on Level Up. That's why I don't see him. I don't think I've ever seen a single episode of Level Up. Has anybody been paying attention to this WWE speed thing on X? I know there's a tournament going on. I know Ricochet advanced, and I think JD McDonagh advanced. It's 3-minute matches that go up at noon every Wednesday on Twitter. Oh, man. You guys are too much. Well, look, this has been an incredible week here on the channel, and I hope you've enjoyed and appreciated all the content that I have tried to supply you with. But now, as we come down from our WrestleMania high, we proceed into the draft coming up at the end of this month. We have AEW Dynasty coming up. Not this weekend, but next weekend, that does have two big matches on there. Bryan Danielson and Will Ospreay. And Samoa Joe defending the AEW World title against Swerve Strickland. It's just too bad that people should be talking about Swerve Strickland being on the verge, on the cusp of becoming AEW World Champion. And certainly not this week. Ain't nobody talking about that. Only one person to blame for that. That's Tony Khan. Jeremy says, bigger match, Solo versus Roman or Solo versus Rock? Solo versus Roman. And do not pass go. Do you think we see Fatu at Backlash? Very possible. I think we see him in the next several weeks. After Backlash? What's after Backlash? King of the Ring? That's the end of May. And then I guess it would be Money in the Bank, right? Probably Money in the Bank in early July. So if it was going to be on a PLE, Backlash would make sense. But he's coming. It's about time. Jacob Fatu is coming. But yes, definitely check out episode 857 this weekend. There'll be two, count them two, Dark Side of the Ring reviews. And a lot to talk about as far as news of the week. And I'll have some questions from you guys as well. That'll be going up on Sunday. Check out all the other content from the channel this week. The Raw review from Monday. The Dynamite review, which is bordering on 60,000 views. I think I laid it down pretty well on Wednesday. Made my thoughts clear about that whole situation. And that's all I got for you for now. Richie, a lot of Vince's promos are disturbing now to me. They were disturbing when they aired the first time. I can only imagine how disturbing they must be now. With any luck, somebody will buy those shares and he will have 0% ownership of TKO, and we can officially be free once and for all of Vince McMahon, and we can move ahead. Juan Ocampo, thank you for being a channel member for 15 months. I got my red skulls, I got my gold skulls, I got my yellow skull, well, that is yellow, green skulls. We have a new blue skull level for 48 months and above. Where are all my skulls at? Juan wants me to watch UFC 300. Probably not. But we'll see. Maybe I'll find a way. Remember when Brock came back for 200 and popped on a test after? My opinion, WrestleMania 30 ending over WrestleMania 40. How about both endings were great? How about that? Instead of comparing everything, can't we just enjoy what it is? Be well, stay safe, have yourselves a great weekend. I'll see you guys on Monday night for the Raw review, and 8:57 on Sunday. Until then.